There's a great quote by James Allen that I'm going to begin this lesson with today. Allen says, "You are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you." I had to spend a lot of good mental time really trying to decide what is the difference between the way a follower thinks and what a leader thinks. What really excites me about this lesson is I had to go deep down inside of myself, and I have at several conferences. I've talked about the fact that leaders think differently. And I'm going to really enjoy teaching this lesson. Today, as I reviewed the notes early this morning in my office and just kind of went through them again, I said to myself, this is good stuff. This really has potential of helping people think correctly. I want to make a couple of statements and then we're going to take off. The first one is the fact that leaders are not smarter than followers. They just think differently. I remember being challenged one time. I had a fellow come up to me one time and said, "You know, I've heard you talk a lot about leadership, and I want to challenge you on something." He said, "I've never heard you talk about the fact that leaders are smarter than followers." Kind of took me back. I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "It's obvious." He said, "When you look at a leader, you look at a follower, they're smarter." And I knew there was something about the statement that just didn't ring true. And yet I also knew what he was saying. What he really was saying is that you show me a leader and I'll show you somebody that does think ahead. They do seem to kind of have a better grasp of the things around them than followers. But it isn't an issue of smartness. It's not an issue of IQ. It's an issue of the fact that they just think differently. They're not smarter. In fact, I believe that many brilliant people are followers. I don't think it's an issue of being smart, you're a leader. And if you're not smart, you're a follower at all. But it is an issue of how we think, which is absolutely crucial, because the proverb writer said, as you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And everything begins with a thought. Victory begins with a thought. Defeat begins with a thought. What are you thinking? How are you thinking? Okay. When I'm doing conferences, a lot of times I'll have a question. How do you find a leader? In fact, that's one of the most often asked questions I'm asked. Well, how do you find a leader? How do you spot a leader? As I hear that question, what that question really is it's a question of a person that probably does not have strong natural leadership gifts, because I'm always amazed at the question. I've always been able to find leaders. And I always ask myself, well, how do I know this? How do I know this? And how does another person right beside me and sees their people day in, day out, year in, year out, still have a hard time saying, well, how do I spot or how do I find a leader? Well, it's in the way that we think. Let me illustrate. I can remember having a staff member of which I mentored this person for over a year. And I really wanted to help this individual learn to be a leader. And I could remember them sitting with me and saying, I'm trying, I'm working on this, I'm learning, I'm doing my best. And I knew that they were doing their best. But I can promise you, over a year and 3 or 4 months, it never connected. And I kept saying, can I not teach this? I mean, am I not a good communicator? This is so simple. And what was so simple for me was so difficult for that person. It wasn't an issue of that person not being intelligent. In fact, they were very smart. It was the fact that they just thought differently. I believe that what I'm going to share with you 10 things I think that are different between how a leader thinks and a follower thinks. What really excites me about this lesson, although I do not think that maybe all 10 of them can be learned, I think 7 of them at least can be learned. Which means that if we really work at this, we can think more like a leader. And then, of course, what happens, what our thoughts are, is what we will become. Okay, so let's go. Number one, I'm excited about this. Let's go. Number one, leaders think big. And that's a major difference between a leader and a follower. Benjamin Disraeli said, he was the prime minister of Britain, "You will never go higher than your thoughts." One of the greatest books I read back in the early, what would have been 70s, was a book entitled The Magic Power of Thinking Big by David Swartz. I'll never forget reading that book. I marked that book from cover to cover. I pulled out more quotes, more stories, more illustration out of the book. One just brief paragraph out of David Swartz's book, "Where success is concerned, people are not measured in inches or pounds or college degrees or family background. They are measured by the size of their thinking. How big we think determines the size of our accomplishments." Now, I'm not talking about just dreaming. Leaders and dreamers are different. Dreamers, all they do is just dream. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having a dream and being able to lead people through the process and the ability to think big. Leaders do several things in their dreaming. Leaders dare to dream. They prepare the dream. I love this sequence. This is good stuff. They dare to dream when others aren't dreaming, but then they prepare it. They understand that it needs cultivation, and then they wear the dream. They live it. I mean, it's just them. You just look at them, and there's their vision. There's their dream. Then they repair the dream, because all great dreams, all big thinking has areas that need to be strengthened, changed, turned around, and then they share the dream. And I think that's what that makes the difference between a leader and a non-leader, is they have the ability to share that dream effectively. Leaders have the ability to transfer big thinking. They have the ability to transfer faith. They have the ability to walk along somebody, and when that person is done with them, they just feel, I can do it. I can do this. I never will forget Cho telling me in Korea a couple of years ago that of all the gifts that leaders had, he said, John, I promise you, the one gift that all leaders have, in fact, he asked me what I thought it was, I said, well, leadership. He said, no, he said, I think I found some leaders I don't even think have that gift. They absolutely have the ability to think big, and that's a difference. Followers, they don't think big. Doesn't mean they're negative. They may be a very positive, wonderful person, but they just don't have the ability to think bigger than life. And leaders do. That's the first difference between a leader and a follower. Let's go to number two. The second difference between leaders and followers is that leaders think other people. A leader is always thinking of others. Now, I'm not talking about a compassionate person here when I say thinking of others. What I'm saying is leaders keep what I call the other people agenda in their mind. They are constantly realizing that they are responsible for people, and so they have to think like those people. They have to think through their eyes and mind and thoughts. A successful person is evaluated by personal progress, where a successful leader is evaluated by group process. And there's a world of difference between the two. A successful person knows how to get from point A to point B. If this is the journey of life and this represents success and climbing the ladder or whatever, I have just become a successful person because I can navigate, I can move from A to B. They're all kind of wonderful, successful people. They've made a lot of money in their lives. They have power, they have positions, authority, whatever. A lot of people can move from point A to point B. The leader is totally different. A leader never asks himself or herself, can I move from point A to point B? A leader, you evaluate them by their ability not only to go from point A to point B, but to take people with them from point A to point B. There are a lot of successful people in life that aren't leaders. One of the things you have to understand about a leader is probably a leader could go from point A to point B to point C to point D to point E, maybe. But because they are a leader, they may never get to point E. Because, again, they want to take the people with them. They only may go to point C. A lot of times, leaders never reach what they could personally be for the betterment of the group. Now, here's what I'm saying is a follower, I can promise you something about a follower. A follower never thinks of this agenda at all. See, leaders constantly have other person agenda in their mind. So what I did in your notes to help us to get a hold of this, I put down, and you have it there, just I'll go over quickly, other person questions. These are questions that leaders ask themselves, such as, do I know where I'm going? Number two, should others be going with me? Three, boy, this is a great question, can I get them there? And number four, am I willing to pay the price? You say, what price you have to pay? All leaders have to pay the price of slowness. Can I tell you something about a leader? All leaders travel slower than they have to because they're bringing people with them. Every leader could travel faster, go farther, and jump higher if he or she didn't have other people to bring with him. So there's some things we have to ask. And then there are other people observations. For example, number one, the journey is slower. No question about it. When you take people with you, it's a slower journey. That's a little difficult sometimes for leaders because they assess very quickly and evaluate very quickly. And sometimes it's kind of like, well, okay, slow down, bring them with you. So the journey is slower. Number two, the responsibilities are heavier. And number three, the return is greater. And that's why we do it, gang. It's number three. I can tell you, I don't do it because I like to go slow, and I don't like to do it because I want some more responsibilities. I do it because I know the multiplication effect of bringing people along. I saw a statement the other day that I thought was so true, and that is, the number one cannot multiply. It can add, but it can't multiply. You got to go to two before you can get into multiplication. You got to get you, and then all of a sudden, the benefits, of course, are greater. I had lunch the other day with a guy by the name of Mike Downey. He was a wonderful guy. I met him at a conference in, where did I meet him? And I was in Dallas. And he flew over here and to spend a little bit of time with me. It was a great lunch. And one of the reasons it was a great lunch, in fact, when it was done, I told him, I said, Mike, I want to tell you something. This was a great lunch. I said, the reason it was a great lunch is you never asked me for anything for 1 hour. And you brought all kind of things to the table. And he laughed. He said, yeah. He said, I determined that. He literally had a list of things he wanted to add value to me on. And all he did was he spent 1 hour to me telling me wonderful stories, helping me, giving me some books that I might want to read. And I said, this man, you know what he did for 1 hour? He replenished me. Mike Downey came with only one agenda, which is very rare for the leader. When people come to the leader, usually their agenda is to receive something from him. And that's nothing wrong with that. That's part of our responsibility as leaders is to give. Mike Downey came with one agenda all the way from Dallas, and that was he was determined to ask nothing of me but just to replenish me. And I told him when it was all done, I said, you know, Mike, I said, I'll have lunch with you any day. You know what I mean? You can come back tomorrow. What was it? He had an other person agenda. All I'm saying is leaders think other people. Followers, they think themselves. Now, I want to say something before we go on number three. Followers aren't selfish. It's not an issue of being selfish or being self-centered. It's a different way of thinking. And a follower doesn't think of other people. They just think of themselves, okay? And that's the difference, okay? Now, number three, leaders think continually. One of the differences between leaders and followers is that leaders are, they never stop thinking. And let me give you the quote, fill in the blanks here, and then we're going to talk about it. That which holds our attention determines our action. And there's a statement there that kind of has an assumption, that is that something has to hold our attention. Followers think when it's convenient to think or that they are forced to think. Leaders never stop thinking. I want to tell you something. The mind for leaders never turns off. I have people all the time say, well, John, you talk about once or twice a week getting up in the middle of the night and getting the legal pad and the whole process. And sometimes people are a little bit amazed about that. It doesn't amaze me. I know what happens. Although my body gets some rest, the mind never stops. And it can't stop. You know what can't stop? It can't stop because I got too many balls in the air that I'm juggling. And the moment that I decide that, boy, I don't want to think about that for a couple of days. The moment I stop that is the moment that I'm not going to make the progress I need. And so I sat down, and you know what? Leaders are what you almost, I would call them problem ponderers. They're always wrestling with issues, and they're just constantly thinking about those issues. And so I sat down, and I thought, what is it that occupies all my time thinking? And I've got them here just for you to understand me better. There are five areas that constantly just I never stop thinking about. One of them is finances. It never stops. I've got to be able to constantly raise dollars because that's how the organization is going to keep on going. A leader is constantly thinking about the dollars. Number two is vision. It's a constant work. It's a constant job to cast the vision, to cast the vision. Statement of purpose. One more time. Cast the vision, cast the vision. It just doesn't end. Number three, one of the areas I have to constantly think about are resources. I've got to be able to find resources, whether it's all the preparation, whatever it is, writing a book every year, that whole process, but just constant resource. It takes a lot of time. Another area is people development. I have 90 to 100 people that I have to constantly make sure they're growing and they're developing. Another area is time. I've got to structure, prioritize, delegate, keep people, good people around me. And these are areas that I never stop thinking about. I could remember when I was working on this lesson, and I've got season tickets, and I had been to one game, so I thought I ought to go to a game sometime this year. And so I went, and I one of my favorite thinking friends, and I said, the good news is I want you to go to a ball game with me. The bad news is I have a sheet of paper, and I've got a whole bunch of questions to ask you, and we're going to spend six innings out there, and we're going to talk, and we're going to think. And I had already worked on some of these things of thinking about how leaders think. And I sat there, and while we're kind of watching the ball game, I mean, baseball's kind of a slow deal anyway. So, I mean, they kind of just spit and chew and every once in a while throw a ball and swing. What is it? I'm saying whether it's in a ball game, whether it's in a car, you're just constantly, continually thinking. And leaders do that. Leaders never stop that process. I brought with me, this is a good book. It's called The Making of a Man. It's a kind of a devotional for guys. And I think I have 52 quotes I got out of this book. Every time I read, I'm constantly thinking, what am I reading that I could apply to something down the road? And how do I mark it so that I have it in my folder so that when I get there, I have it. Now I don't know how to explain this except to give you illustrations. That's how leaders think. Leaders never let go of the issue, never let go of the problem. They always have it there. And the great thing about leaders can think of a half a dozen and keep a half a dozen different things going in their mind at the same time. Followers, they don't do that. Number four, leaders think bottom line. When you talk to a leader, they very, very quickly want to go down to where the bottom line is. You see, leaders know where they're going, how to get there, and how far they have to go to arrive. And it's the old journey analogy process. Leaders, while the followers are enjoying the scenery, leaders are already thinking about the destination. I mean, they're already there. I love what Peter Drucker said when I said, people do not want to hear about your labor pains. They just want to see the baby. And isn't that the truth? And that's the way a leader, you know, a follower, they won't tell you what they were medicated and, you know, the whole process. And, the, you know, the leader wants to say, was it a boy or girl? You know, boy or girl, got a name, you know what I mean? On we go. Now, that's just how leaders think. I don't mean that wrong, but I don't have the luxury in life to appreciate anything without looking down and seeing, was it really as good as everybody said it was? If it was, there's somewhere on the bottom line that it'll begin to show up. It's just a different way of thinking. What's a leader think? Leader, after all the balloons and the parties and the ribbons, the leader's saying, how do I pay for this? How do I raise another 75, 80? Now, that's just the way leaders think. They think bottom line. Number five, leaders think continuous improvement. You show me a leader, and they think continuous improvement. They don't see it as just I've got to improve for this moment, but it's never stopping. I love the sign that on an agricultural supply store, if you don't like the crop you are reaping, check the seed that you're sowing. And leaders just think continuous improvement. They're never satisfied with where they are. They're going to keep on moving. I don't even plan on even slowing down in my growth rate. That's the one thing I wouldn't compromise for anybody. I want to keep developing, growing. I love this paragraph. Peak performers do not see accomplishment as a fixed state, nor as a safe haven in which the individual is moored, completed, and finished. Not once have I heard a peak performer speak of an end to a challenge, excitement, curiosity, and wonder. Quite the contrary, one of the most engaging characteristics is an infectious talent for moving into the future, generating new challenges, living with a new sense of more work to be done. Now, I really do. It's fun to win. It's fun to get a little victory in your belt. And you know what? I like to just sit back and think about it for about an hour. And after you're finished with that victory, say, well, that was nice. My mind immediately says, what's next? What am I going to work on next? What am I going to develop next? Where are we going to go next? It's a constant, and leaders think continual growth and continual improvement. Improvement insights. I wrote three of them in there for you. If what you did yesterday still looks big to you, you haven't done much today. And that is so true. Number two, as long as you're green, you're growing, and as soon as you're ripe, you start to rot. And number three, for everything you gain, you lose something. And I want to tell you something. That third statement is why people do not continually improve. Most people are not willing to give up to go up. the things that you give up, the things that you let go, only because you realize that you must continually, constantly improve. Number six, the sixth thing I believe that distinguishes the thinking of a leader is that leaders think without lines. Leaders have no lines in their thinking. Now, let's review for a moment. Leaders think big. They think other people. They think continually. They think bottom line. They think constant improvement. They think without lines. In his fascinating book, New Think, Edward de Bono promotes the idea of expanding our creativity by lateral thinking. He says you cannot dig a hole in a different place by digging the same hole deeper. Vertical thinking simply keeps digging in the same location. Lateral thinking, says de Bono, is concerned with digging a hole in another place. That's a tremendous statement. Now, what I'm saying is that leaders, they think without lines. Now, does that mean that they are just flying off the handle, that they're a loose cannon? No, it's not that at all. What I'm saying is, What would make most people stop and ponder or hesitate because there is a boundary or a fence or a line? A leader would only see it in the fact that he says, there's a line, but would never allow that line to stop, especially the creativity, if he thought or she thought there was something over on the other side of the line that could really better the organization or whatever. Now, So let me before I go out of the lines, which is where I really want to go, I can hardly wait to get out of the lines, to be honest with you. Within the lines, leaders think critically, within the lines, and they have to ask themselves very quickly what went wrong, in the organization. So within the lines, there is a critical type of thinking, but beyond the lines, leaders think creatively. Now, that's what separates a follower from a leader. A leader can think within the lines critically, but cannot think beyond the lines creatively. That's the difference. Now, so I sat down. I had fun. I said, okay, let's just put leaders and followers into some kind of a category and see if we can think of the different ways in this line thinking. For example, leaders think options, where followers think security. And I want to just stop here long enough to say they're not the same and they're never compatible. Thinking options and thinking security is as far opposed in thinking as black is from white. Leaders think principles. Where followers think tangibles. Followers don't like principle-centered teaching or thinking. Now, they don't mind. It's not that they're opposed to it, but they want something tangible down. Okay, leaders think opportunities where followers think answers. Followers, what they want is that they want an answer. A leader says, I'm not even interested in the answer yet. I'm not done exploring what we could do out there. Leaders think many ways where followers have a tendency to think one way. Followers, you know, one of the things they'll say is, what's the best way? And leader says, well, I think there are three. And they're probably all very good. Leaders think potential when they look at a situation, where followers think process. Now, these are just to help you to kind of get a handle on this. I love the statement by Tom Hirschfield, if you don't ask why this often enough, somebody will ask why you, which that's pretty good. Now, lines that limit us. I just wrote these down. I just thought of, what are some of the lines that I watch limit people as far as their thinking? Lines such as this. Number one, there's only one way. I can almost promise you there's not only more than one way, but there's more than one good way to do something. And so when a person says, well, I think there's only one way to do this, I'm saying, I doubt that very seriously. I bet there's several ways. Number two is follow the rules. That'll always limit your thinking, because the moment you follow the rules, you're following somebody's rules that probably didn't have a clue when they wrote them. Number three, be practical. I can promise you some of the greatest ideas you ever thought were not practical. But the be practical type of person kind of puts the water on any kind of a hot idea or something, especially if it's kind of far-fetched. Number four, failure is final. People that have a failure complex will have lines that will begin to limit them. Number five, don't be foolish. Yeah, go ahead and be foolish. You're already a fool, so be foolish once in a while. Number six, think serious. Serious thinkers always have lines. Number seven, this may be the biggest problem of that limits people. Be image conscious. Make sure you got the, yeah. Now, remember who you are. Well, why don't you forget that one time in your life? The rest of us have. Go out and enjoy something. You know, go over and kick a beehive and see if you can run fast enough. Be logical. Be logical. Well, be logical. Huh? Here's another one. I'm not creative. Boy, I hear people say that, and they hurt themselves. Or number 10, I want to find the right answer. I want to find the right answer. Leaders can find a wrong answer and pull it off. Followers can find a right answer and still don't have a chance. Okay? Now, this area of creativity, they just did a survey. I read it this a couple weeks ago. As far as helping people, thinking of people and their creativity, what's interesting is they found that only 2% of the people over 40 are creative. So they went down to 35, and they found only 2% of those people were creative. So they went down to 30. They kept going down the ladder is what they really did. And they found 2%, 2%, 2%, all the way to 7-year-olds. And at 7, 10% of the kids were creative. Now watch this. They went to 5. At 5 years of age, 80% of all children are creative. And then they went to school. And they taught us in school to color within the lines and begin messing us up. If 80% of the 5-year-olds are creative, I want to tell you something, 80% of the 40-year-olds could be. But somebody walked into their life, and this really ticks me. Because I want to tell you something. I watch people getting their potential crimped constantly, and I go to battle with people that don't help people reach their potential. And somehow through the system of education, and somehow through the system of life, maybe it's parents constantly hammering on their kids, I don't know, bad experiences, all the stuff you combine, all the creative juices that are inside of a person that God gave you and me, listen, your creativity is the key to your potential. I can remember when I was in college, somehow the lesson was on creativity or whatever, and I can remember a kid right beside me, in fact, his name was David. And he made this statement in the class, I'm not creative. And I remember pulling him aside and going to lunch with him that day and trying to convince him that he was creative. And this kid who was smart, who, by the way, has never amounted to anything in life. And I know why. He thinks he's not creative. Now, all I'm saying is someone drew lines for you somewhere, and you know what you thought? You thought those lines were holy. You thought those lines were sacred. You kind of thought that, man, I've got to follow these lines if I'm going to be accepted, loved, taken care of, whatever you got. And we put all of our security, dumped it on the inside of those lines, and we're messing up all kind of people's potential by getting them to kind of think. Remember this, small thinkers are only content when you think small like them. Don't let people limit your mind. Don't let people limit your potential. Don't let people limit the way you think. When you see something, and you just ask the question, why? Who says I've got to do that? I'm not trying to talk to you. I'm not trying to talk to you about being some kind of a belligerent attitude problem person. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, don't let people stick you in boxes and put fences around you and somehow get you to a place where you just become nothing more than a breathing robot in life. And I want to stop right now and let's just go into every one of your minds and lift that thing and say, you do not have to think in this little square. You can't get beyond that whole process. And when I saw and read that survey, of how many five-year-olds are creative. I said, dear God, forgive a system that'll constantly somehow make people feel so insecure because of a bunch of insecure people leading it, that all of a sudden we'll begin to limit everybody's thinking and try to tell them everybody's got to think alike, look alike, stay within the box. It's not what we want. Okay, number seven, leaders think success. Leaders think success. Dennis Waitley said, the winners in life think constantly in terms of I can, I will, I am, and losers on the other hand concentrate their waking thoughts on what they should have done or what they didn't do. Boy, that's true. That's so true. Now, when I'm talking about success, I'm not talking about leaders think success like I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm not talking about that kind of success. I'm just saying they think, leaders assume things that followers don't assume. And I wrote some of them down. This isn't the final list. Leaders assume that they will succeed, that things will work out, that people will follow, that setbacks will occur, but resources will come and they will succeed. And that's how they think. Followers don't think that way. Followers, instead of assuming success and assuming victory, they assume defeat. They assume that it isn't going to work out and that there is going to be a problem. And when there is a problem, what's going to happen to crop up? I was playing golf one time with a friend who half a dozen times called himself, he'd hit a bad shot and he'd call himself an idiot. He said, oh, you idiot. Oh, you idiot. It was just interesting to listen to him call himself an idiot. Finally, because he is a good friend, I said to him, if you would have hired a caddy to start this course off with you today, and every time you hit a bad shot, the caddy had looked at you and said, you idiot. I said, you'd have fired him. I mean, you're not going to pay some guy to follow you around and call you an idiot. Now, I don't mean this wrong, but would you want to could I give you $20 today to call me an idiot a dozen times while I'm out on a golf course? You, after a while, you'd have said, what's that guy doing? What's he calling me an idiot for? Isn't it interesting? We won't let anybody else call us an idiot, but we'll call ourselves one. Doesn't have to be. Now, do we do stupid things? Sure, but doesn't mean I'm stupid. When I had a bad golf shot, I thought, boy, what a rare thing, John, to hit a... Man!
Stupid.
Yeah. Stupid guy playing with me, stupid ball, but not stupid. John, good Lord, this is me. Now, I know that's a little silly, but it isn't silly. It isn't silly because I believe deep down beneath that whole process, we are putting what I call failure mechanisms in our mind that are absolutely, absolutely our worst enemy. Probably the only reason I like golf is because I know what it is. It's a pure mind game. Most of us, all we do, we just sabotage ourselves. We get up to that 4-foot putt, and the pressure's on, and you only think, man, hope I don't miss it. Oh, man, I've been pulling all day. Now, don't pull it. Don't pull it, John. Don't tell yourself what not to do. Tell yourself what to do. All I'm saying is leaders think differently. They assume that they're going to be successful. Number eight, leaders think intuitively, where followers don't. And I would say this, when people ask me all the time, are leaders born? That's another big popular question. Of course, I always laugh and say, of course they are. So are non-leaders. We're all born. Now, what's your question? What they're really saying are those who have it and those who don't. Let me tell you something about that. If leaders are born, I can almost guarantee you that the area they're born as a leader is in this area of intuition. They can just smell things that others cannot. So I think that when I told you there's 7 out of 10 things that I think you can probably grab hold of, even if you're a leader in the making, the one, leaders think intuitively. They just think intuitively while everybody else is trying to work through the process. They just know. Number nine, leaders think intangibles. And that's one word. I've got to make sure when I say that, it sounds like I said leaders think intangibles. They think intangibles. In other words, where leadership in its top form is artistic, it's not technical, it's not methodical. And leaders understand that. Leadership, it's an art form. In fact, I wrote down 9 words that are close to a leader's heart, and all these words have something in common. So let me give you the 9 words. Let me talk about it for a moment. Words that are close to a leader's thought, or leader's heart. Number one, morale. Very close to a leader's heart. Leader always wants to know, what's the morale? Two, timing. Three, atmosphere. Four, momentum. Five, attitude. These are words dear to a leader's heart. Number six, felt need. These are words that a leader really hones in on. Seven, emotion. Eight, process. Number nine, expectations. Now, what do all these words have in common? They're very close to a leader's heart. Three things they all have in common. Letter A, they are all intangible. Not one of these words can you see. Not one of these words can you look and say, there it is. Now remember what I'm talking about. Leaders, they think in intangibles. They don't think like followers think. Number, letter B, they all determine the success or failure of a project. They all do. And leaders understand that. In fact, they can determine the success or failure of the project before the project is complete based on those nine words. And number, letter C is they all understand that it is vital to leaders. They all understand that these nine words are very vital to the way that a leader reads the issues or the thing. For example, I'll give you one example of that, and then I'll go on to the last point. For example, one of the leadership principles I've always lived with that deals with intangibles is that you never introduce a problem without an answer. Now, this is a total intangible process, but remember, leadership is an art form. It's not technology. It's an art form. You know all it is? It's all feel. It's all feel. It's the old, what is it, Kenny Rogers, who you got to know when to hold him, you got to know when to fold him. You got to know when to walk away, that whole process. There's an intuitiveness, there's a intangibleness about it that leaders understand and they can feel the situation. Sometimes leaders can't even explain why they're doing something. Some of my most embarrassing moments is when I knew I was doing something I should be doing. But if somebody would walk and say, John, why are you doing it that way? I'd say, I don't know. I'm not quite sure, but I know I should be doing it this way. Number 10, leaders evaluate quickly. Leaders evaluate situations quickly. It isn't what you know that counts. It is what you can think of in time. Great statement. Leaders size up the situation and seize it immediately. Leaders can size up the situation very quickly. They evaluate quickly. Essential evaluations of a leader, things that a leader better be able to evaluate fairly quickly, such as one, personnel. Number two, potential problems. Do you know how to keep a problem from becoming big? Smell it out before it becomes big. I can tell you right now, when people are constantly running into big problems, I can tell you, they do not evaluate quickly because big problems don't get big all of a sudden. Big problems grow, just like the process of big problems can go away. They go away, they fade away, they grow. And you size that up, you see it. Number three is opportunities. Leaders evaluate opportunities very quickly. You know what will happen in a room? A leader will see an opportunity, walk out and take care of it while the rest of the followers are just, they haven't even started thinking about it yet. It's just a natural process. Number four, atmosphere. Leaders can walk in and evaluate an atmosphere. Whether it's a good day, a fair day, what needs to happen, what needs to change. You know, do I kind of go introspective with them? All that stuff, quick evaluations. Leaders can do that. Number five, process. Leaders can evaluate process quickly. It doesn't mean they can process quickly, but they evaluate it. And number six, they evaluate what I call the magic moments. They see a moment and they can tell that it is either magic or has potential to have magic, and they seize it quickly. And they go after it very quickly. I have in your lesson, and you can do this yourself, but How to think like a leader. How to think like a leader. If we're going to change our thinking, there are 10 things we want to do. Number one, identify it. Identify how a leader thinks. There are 10 ways a leader thinks. What areas am I strong? What areas am I weak? And you can go through those areas and you can check those on your own. But the first thing you do if you're going to think like a leader is you got to identify how a leader thinks. So you identify it, one. Number two, find it. Who has these thinking qualities? Find it in other people. Three, observe it. Spend time with that person, observing how they think. Become a student of other people's thinking. Number four, think it. Take those 10 qualities and begin to think those 10 qualities. Begin to think big. Number five, embrace it. See yourself with this type of thinking. And you'll feel a little foolish embracing thinking that is not common to you. You'll feel a little bit hypocritical, to be honest with you, because it's not you. But embrace it. Number six, talk it. Share it with someone, especially if they have those traits themselves. Number seven, walk it. Put this thinking into action. Begin to apply the thinking I'm talking about. Number eight, measure it. Begin to check your progress. The best way to check your progress is not daily, but look back a month later and say, how am I making a difference? Number nine, feel it. Strengthen this thinking by resources, by associations. And number 10, affirm it. Encourage yourself. Put yourself in the process and affirm yourself with this kind of thinking. Final thoughts about leadership thinking. Number one, leaders are more alike in thinking than any other area. That's a great statement. Leaders come in different sizes, different colors, different temperaments, different kind of personalities, but leaders are more alike in their thinking than any other area. You get with a leader and they immediately have a synergy in the way they think. Two, people who do not think are a slave to their surroundings. And boy, do I see a whole bunch of people in slavery. Mental slavery. Three, the amount of thinking you can do at any time will depend primarily on the amount of thinking that you have already done.